Indeed, my sister Martha and I have been talking all the week about your sermon last Sunday.
Oh.
Which is really wonderful, Dr. Harper. In only 2 short years, you've taken on the spirit of Brooklyn.
That's very gratifying, Miss Brewster.
Living here next to the church all our lives, you know, we've seen so many ministers come and go. The spirit of Brooklyn, we always say, is friendliness. And your sermons are not so much sermons as friendly talks.
Personally, I've always enjoyed my talks with Cardinal Gibbons.
Or have I met him yet?
No, Teddy dear, not yet. Mm-hmm. Are the biscuits good?
Splendid, Aunt Abby.
Won't you have another biscuit, Dr. Harper?
Oh, no, no. I'm afraid I'll have no appetite for dinner now. I always eat too many of your biscuits just to taste your lovely jam.
Oh, well, we'll send you over a jar.
No, no, you keep it here so I can be sure of having your biscuits with it.
Very well. I understand Mortimer's taking Elaine with him to the theatre again tonight. We are so happy it's your daughter he takes with him, Dr. Harper.
It's a new experience for me to wait up until 3 o'clock in the morning for her to be brought home.
Oh, but I do hope you don't disapprove of Mortimer.
Well,
because we'd feel so guilty if you did, Sister Martha and I. I mean, since it was here that your daughter met our nephew.
I believe Mortimer to be quite a worthy gentleman, but I must admit that I've watched the growing intimacy between him and my daughter with some trepidation. For one reason, Miss Abby.
You mean his stomach, Dr. Harper?
Stomach?
Yes, his dyspepsia.
No, Miss Abby. I'll be frank with you. I'm speaking of your nephew's unfortunate connection with the theatre.
The theatre? Oh, no, Dr. Harper. Mortimer writes for a New York newspaper.
I know, Miss Abby, but a dramatic critic is constantly exposed to the theatre. And I don't doubt but some of them develop an interest in it.
No, not Mortimer. He hates the theatre.
Really?
Oh, yes. He writes awful things about it. But you can't blame him, poor boy. He was so happy writing about real estate, which he really knew something about. And then they just make him take this terrible night position.
My.
But as he says, the theatre can't last much longer anyway. And in the meantime, it's a living. Well, now, whoever do you suppose that is? Oh, come in, Mr. Brophy.
Hello, Miss Brewster.
How are you, Mr. Clyde?
Very well, Miss Brewster.
What news have you two police officers brought me?
Colonel, we have nothing to report.
Splendid. Thank you, gentlemen. At ease.
You know Dr. Harper?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Harper.
We've come for the toys for the Christmas fund, Miss Brewster.
Oh, yes.
That splendid work you men do for the poor children.
Oh, it gives us something to do when we have to sit around the station. You get tired playing cards, then you start cleaning a gun. And the first thing you know, you've shot yourself in the foot.
Oh, dear. Teddy, just go upstairs, dear, and get that big box from your Aunt Martha's room, will you?
Yes, Aunt Abby. Ta-da!
Dear Teddy, all pretending he's in the army. And how is your wife, Mr. Brophy?
Oh, she's better now. A little weak still.
Well, I'm going to get you some beef broth to take to her.
Oh, now, don't bother, Miss Abby. You've done so much for her already.
We made it this morning. Yes, Sister Martha's taking some to poor Mr. Benitsky right now. I won't be a minute. Sit down and be comfortable, all of you.
Well, now, she shouldn't go to all that trouble.
Listen, you just tried to stop her or her sister from doing something nice, and for nothing.
Colonel, you promised not to do that.
But I had to call a cabinet meeting to get the release of those supplies.
He used to do that in the middle of the night. The neighbours raised Cain with us. They're a little bit afraid of him anyway.
Oh, he's quite harmless.
Oh, suppose he does think he's Teddy Roosevelt. There's a lot worse people he could think he was.
It's a shame. A nice family like this hatching a cuckoo like him.
Well, the old girl's father, Teddy's grandfather, he was a little crazy, wasn't he?
Yes, crazy like a fox. He made $1 million.
Really?
Yes, patent medicine. He used the house here as a sort of a clinic. Tried him out on people.
He used to make mistakes occasionally, too.
The department never bothered him much because he was pretty useful on autopsies, especially poison cases.
Well, whatever he did, he left his daughters fixed for life.
Not that they ever spend any of it on themselves.
Yes, I'm well acquainted with their charities.
Oh, you don't know a tenth of it. When I was with the Missing Persons Bureau, I was trying to trace an old man that we never did find. Do you know there's a renting agency that's got this house down on its list for furnished rooms? They don't rent rooms, but anybody who comes here looking for a room goes away with a good meal and a few dollars in their pocket.
Well, now, isn't this nice?
Good afternoon, Miss Brewster.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Brophy? Dr. Harper and Mr. Klein.
How are you, Miss Brewster?
We dropped in to get the Christmas toys.
Oh, yes, of course. I hope Mrs. Brophy is better.
Oh, she's doing fine, ma'am. Your sister's getting some soup for me to take to her.
Oh, yes, we made it this morning. I just took some to a poor man who broke ever so many bones.
Oh, so you're back, Martha. And how was Mr. Vinitsky?
Oh, well, dear, it's pretty serious, I'm afraid. The doctor was there. He's going to amputate in the morning.
Oh, can we be present?
No. I asked him, but he says it's against the rules.
Well, here is the broth, Mr. Brophy. And be sure it's good and hot.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Ah, and here's Teddy with the toys.
There they are.
Thank you, dear Teddy.
All checked and correct.
There you are, Mr. Clyde.
Oh, thank you very much, ma'am. Well, we'll run along now.
Goodbye, Mr. Klein.
Goodbye, Mr. Brophy.
Goodbye, ma'am.
And thank you.
I must be getting home, too.
Oh, well, before you go, Dr. Harper...
Charge! Charge the blockhouse!
Have you ever tried to persuade him that he wasn't Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, no.
No, but he's so happy being Teddy Roosevelt.
Once, a long time ago, do you remember, Martha? We thought if he would be George Washington, it might be a change for him.
But he stayed under his bed for days and just wouldn't be anybody.
And we'd so much rather he'd be Mr. Roosevelt than nobody.
Well, if he's happy... You'll see that he signs these papers.
What are they?
Well, Dr. Harper has made arrangements for Teddy to go to Happy Dale Sanatorium after we pass on.
But why should Teddy sign any papers now?
Oh, it's better to have it all settled. Mr. Witherspoon understands they're to be filed away until the time comes to use them.
Mr. Witherspoon? Who's he?
He's the superintendent of Happy Dale.
And Dr. Harper has arranged for him to drop in tomorrow or the next day to meet Teddy.
I'd better be running along, or Elaine will be over here looking for me.
Well, give our love to Elaine. Oh, and Dr. Harper, please don't think harshly of Mortimer because he's a dramatic critic. Somebody has to do these things.
Well, good day.
Have you only just had tea? Isn't it rather late?
Yes, and dinner's going to be late too.
Why?
Teddy!
Yes, Aunt Abby?
Good news for you, dear. You're going to Panama to dig another lock for the canal.
Delighted. I shall prepare for the journey at once.
Abby, while I was out...
Yes, dear, I just couldn't wait for you. I didn't know when you'd be back, and Dr. Harper was coming.
But all by yourself.
Oh, but I got along splendidly.
I'll just run downstairs and see it.
Oh, no, there wasn't time for that, dear. For I was all alone.
Well, where is it then?
Martha, just look in the window seat.
Abby, dear, what a lovely body. And all by yourself, too. Oh. Who can that be? Oh, it's Elaine. Come in, dear.
Good afternoon, Miss Martha. Oh, I thought Father was here.
Oh, well, he's just this minute left. Didn't you meet him?
No, I took the shortcut through the cemetery. Hasn't Mortimer come yet?
No, dear.
Oh, he asked me to meet him here. Do you mind if I wait?
No, not at all. He should be here any minute now.
Oh, my goodness, Elaine, what must you think of us not having tea cleared away by this time? I just put the tray in the kitchen.
Don't bother with anything in the kitchen, Abby, until Mortimer comes, and then I'll help you. Oh, there he is now.
Hello, Aunt Martha.
Abby, Mortimer's here.
Hello, Elaine.
Hello, Mort.
Hello, Mortimer.
Hello, Aunt Abby.
How are you, dear?
All right. And you look well. You haven't changed much since yesterday.
Oh, my goodness, it was yesterday, wasn't it? Well, we are seeing a great deal of you lately. Well, well, sit down, sit down.
Abby, haven't we something to do in the kitchen, Abby?
Huh?
You know, the tea things.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, the tea things. Well, now you two just make yourselves at home. Just
make yourselves at home.
Now, where do you want to go for dinner, Elaine?
I don't care, I'm not very hungry.
Well, I just had breakfast. Suppose we wait till after the show, hmm?
Well, that'll make it pretty late, won't it?
Not with the little stinker we're seeing tonight. But what I've heard about it, we'll be at Blake's by 10 o'clock.
You ought to be fair to these plays.
Are these plays fair to me?
You know, I've never seen you walk out on a musical. Somehow they have a humanising effect on you. It wasn't until after our first musical you told me I had nice legs. And I have, too.
For a minister's daughter, you know a lot about life. Where do you learn it?
In the choir loft.
Ooh. I'll explain that to you sometime, darling.
What?
The close connection between eroticism and religion.
Oh, religion never gets as high as the choir loft.
You know, I've never been able to rationalise it.
What?
My falling in love with a girl who lives in Brooklyn.
Falling in love? You're not stooping to the articulate, are you?
The only way I can regain my self-respect is to keep you in New York.
Did you say keep?
No, 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 no. I've come to the conclusion that you're holding out for the legalities. Now, where could we be married in a hurry? Hmm? Let me say tonight.
I'm afraid Father will insist on officiating.
Now, your father could make even the marriage service sound pedestrian. All right, formal, everything formal and legal. But not later than next month. Oh,
darling.
Hello, Mortimer.
How are you, Mr. President?
Fine, thank you. Just fine. What news have you brought for me?
Just this, Mr. President. The country is squarely behind you.
Yes, I know. Isn't it wonderful? Well, goodbye.
Where are you off to, Teddy?
Panama.
Panama?
Panama's the cellar.
Oh.
He digs locks for the canal down there.
You're very sweet of him, and he's so fond of you.
Well, Teddy was always my favourite brother.
Favourite? Were there more of you?
Well, there's another brother, Jonathan.
I never heard of him.
Well, we don't like to talk about Jonathan. He left Brooklyn very early, by request. He was the kind of boy who liked to cut worms in two with his teeth.
What became of him?
Oh, I don't know. He wanted to become a surgeon like grandfather, but he wouldn't go to medical school first, and his practice got him into trouble.
Aren't you two going to be late for the theatre?
Oh, we're skipping dinner. We don't have to start for half an hour.
Oh, well then, I'll leave you alone together again.
Don't bother, darling. I'm going to run over to speak to Father. Before I go out with you, Mort, he likes to pray over me a little.
Oh, by the way, Aunt Abby, I'm going to marry her.
What? Oh, darling! Martha! Martha! Come here! I've got the most wonderful news. Mortimer and Elaine are going to be married.
Married? Oh, Mortimer!
Oh, we hoped it would happen like this.
Elaine must be the happiest girl in the world.
Happy? Just look at her leaping over those gravestones. Oh, by the way, I left a large envelope around here last week. It was one of the chapters of my book on Thoreau. Have you seen it?
Well, if you left it here, it must be here somewhere.
Well, when are you going to be married? There must be something more you can tell us about Elaine.
Elaine? Oh, yes, Elaine. Thought it was brilliant.
What was, dear?
My chapter on Thoreau.
Oh. Well, when Elaine comes back, I think we ought to have a little celebration. We must drink to your happiness. Martha, isn't there some of that Lady Baltimore cake left?
Oh, yes.
And I'll open a bottle of wine.
Oh, and to think that it happened in this room.
Oh, now, where could I have put it?
I do hope the play will be something you can enjoy for once. It may be something romantic. What's the name of it?
Murder Will Out.
Oh, dear.
When the curtain goes up, the first thing you'll see will be a dead body. Now, could it be in the window seat, I wonder? My God! Aunt Abby,
You were going to make plans for Teddy to go to that sanatorium, the Happy Dale.
Yes, dear, it's all arranged. Dr. Harper was here today and brought the papers for Teddy to sign. Here they are.
He's got to sign them right away.
Yes, that's what Dr. Harper thinks. Then there won't be any legal difficulties after we pass on.
Here's the cake.
Oh, yes, dear. Put it down there, will you, Martha?
He's got to sign them this minute. He's down in the cellar. Now get him up here right away.
Oh, there's no such hurry as that.
No. When Teddy starts working on the canal, you can't get his mind on anything else.
Teddy's got to go to Happy Dale now. Tonight.
Oh, no, dear. That's not until after we're gone.
Now, listen, darlings. I'm frightfully sorry, but I've got some shocking news for you. You know, we've sort of humoured Teddy because we thought he was harmless.
Well, he is harmless.
He was harmless. That's why he has to go to Happy Dale. Why he has to be confined.
Mortimer, why have you suddenly turned against Teddy, your own brother?
Teddy's killed a man.
Nonsense, dear.
There's a body in the window seat.
Yes, dear, we know.
You know?
Well, of course, dear, but it's nothing to do with Teddy.
Now, Mortimer, just forget about it. Forget you ever saw the gentleman.
Forget?
We never dreamed you'd look.
But who is he?
His name is Hoskins, Adam Hoskins. That's really all I know about him, except that he's a Methodist.
That's all you know about him? What's he doing here? I mean, what's happened to him?
He died.
Aunt Martha, men don't just get into window seats and die.
Oh, no, because he died first.
How?
Now, Mortimer, don't be so inquisitive. The gentleman died because he drank some wine with poison in it.
But how did the poison get in the wine?
Well, we put it in wine because it's less noticeable. When it's in tea, it has a distinct odour.
You put it in the wine?
Yes. And I put Mr. Hoskins in the window seat because Dr. Harper was coming.
So you knew what you'd done. You didn't want Dr. Harper to see the body.
Well, not at tea, dear. That wouldn't have been very nice. Now, Mortimer, you know the whole thing. Just forget about it. I do think Martha and I have the right to our own little secrets.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
What are we going to do about what, dear?
There's a body in that window seat.
Yes, dear, Mr. Hoskins.
Well, I can't turn you over to the police, but what am I going to do?
Oh, well, for one thing, dear, stop being so excited.
But Mr. Hotchkiss.
Hoskins, dear.
Oh, well, whatever his name is, you can't leave him there.
Oh, we don't intend to, dear.
No, Teddy's down in the cellar now, digging the lock.
You mean you're going to bury Mr. Hotchkiss in the cellar?
Oh, yes, dear. Well, that's what we did with the others.
You can't bury Mr. Others?
It's the other gentleman.
When you say others, do you mean others? More than one others?
Oh, yes, dear. Now, let me see. This is 11. Isn't it, Abby?
Oh, no, dear. This makes 12.
No, I think you're wrong, Abby. This is only 11.
No, dear, because I remember when Mr. Hoskins first came in, it occurred to me that he would make just a round dozen.
Well, you really shouldn't count the first one.
Oh, but I was counting the first one, so that makes it 12. Anyway, they're all down in the cellar.
All right, now, 12. Now, tell me, who was the first one?
Mr. Midgley. He was a Baptist.
Of course, I still think we can't claim full credit for him, because he just died.
Martha means without any help from us. You see, Mr. Midgley came here looking for a room.
It was after you moved to New York.
Yes, and it didn't seem right for that lovely room to be going to waste when there were so many people who needed it.
He was such a lonely old man.
All his kith and kin were dead, and it left him so forlorn and unhappy.
And we felt so sorry for him.
And then, when his heart attack came on, and he sat dead in that chair, looking so peaceful, you remember, Martha? We made up our minds then and there that if we could help other lonely old men to that same peace, we would.
Teddy had been digging in Panama, down in the cellar, and he thought Mr. Midgley was a yellow fever victim.
Yes, and that Midgley had to be buried immediately.
So we all took him down to Panama and put him in the lock. That's why we told you not to worry now, because we know exactly what has to be done.
And that's how this all started. That man walking in here and dropping dead.
Yes, of course. You see, we realized we couldn't depend on that happening again. So, you remember those jars of poison that have been up on the shelves in Grandfather's laboratory all these years? Yes. And you know your Aunt Martha's knack for mixing things. Well, dear, for a gallon of elderberry wine, I take one teaspoonful of arsenic, and then add half a teaspoonful of strychnine, and then just a pinch of cyanide.
Mm. Should have quite a kick.
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of our gentlemen found time to say, how delicious. Well, I'll have to get things started in the kitchen. Mortimer, I wish you could stay for dinner. I'm trying out a new recipe.
I couldn't eat a thing.
I'll come and help you, dear. Well, I feel so much better now. Oh, you have to wait for Elaine, haven't you, Mortimer? How happy you must be. Well, dear, I'll leave you alone with your thoughts.
Oh, what am I going to do? What am I...
Oh, it's you, Elaine.
Hello.
Now, you run along home, and I'll call you up tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
You know I always call you up every day or two.
But we're going to the theatre tonight.
No, no, we're not.
Well, why not?
Elaine, some things come up.
What, darling? Mortimer, you've lost your job.
No, I haven't lost my job. I'm just not covering that play tonight. Now, you run along home, Elaine.
I've got to know what's happened. You can tell me.
No, dear, I can't.
But if we're going to be married...
Married?
Have you forgotten?
Oh, yes. Well, as far as I know, that's still on. Now, you run along home, Elaine. I've got to do something.
Listen, you can't propose to me one minute and throw me out of the house the next.
Now, look, Elaine, you're a sweet girl, and I love you, but I have something on my mind, and I want you to go home and wait till I call you.
Well, don't try to be masterful.
But when we're married and I have problems to face, I hope you're less tedious and uninspired.
And when we're married, if we're married, I hope I find you early.
Elaine! Hello.
That's the doorbell, dear, not the telephone.
Oh.
How do you do? Come in.
I understand you have a room to rent.
Yes. Won't you step in?
Are you the lady of the house?
Yes. I am Miss Brewster, and this is my sister, another Miss Brewster.
My name is Gibbs.
Won't you sit down?
Let me talk to you.
May I see the room?
Why don't you sit down for a minute and let's get acquainted?
Well, that won't do much good if I don't like the room.
Is Brooklyn your home?
Haven't got a home. Live in a hotel. Don't like it.
Are your family Brooklyn people?
Haven't got any family.
All alone in the world?
Yes.
Well, Martha, perhaps some wine. You've come to just the right house, Mr. Gibbs. Now, do sit down. What church do you go to? There's an Episcopal church practically next door.
I'm Presbyterian. Used to be. Is there always this much noise?
Oh, he doesn't live with us.
Well, I'd really like to see the room.
Well, it's upstairs. Won't you try a glass of our wine before we go up?
Never touch it.
Well, we make this ourselves. It's elderberry wine.
Oh, elderberry wine? Haven't tasted elderberry wine since I was a boy. Thank you. Do you have your own elderberry bushes?
No, but the cemetery is full of them.
Do you serve meals?
Well, we might. But first, just see whether you like our wine.
There must be some of it.
Just try this, Mr. Gibbs.
Why don't you try Jeff? And he's... Stop!
No, stop.
No, don't you. No, do you want to be poisoned? Get out.
Do you want to be killed?
Do you want to be murdered? Get out.
Oh. Well, now you've spoiled everything.
Oh, you can't do things like that. It's not nice. People wouldn't understand. Well, he wouldn't understand.
Effie, we shouldn't have told Mortimer.
What I mean is, well, this has developed into a very bad habit.
Now, Mortimer,
We don't try to stop you from doing things you like to do, and I don't see why you should interfere with us.
Hello. All right, Al. I'll see the first act, and I'll pan the hell out of it. But look, Al, you've got to do something for me. Get hold of O'Brien, our lawyer. Now get him to meet me at the theatre. Now don't let me down. Okay? I'm starting now. Look, I've got to go to the theatre. But before I go, will you promise me something?
Well, we'd have to know what it was first.
You know, I'd do anything in the world for you, and I want you to do just this little thing for me.
Well, what do you want us to do?
Don't do anything. Don't let anyone in, and leave Mr. Hoskins right where he is in the window seat.
Why?
I want time to think.
Well, we were planning on holding the service before dinner.
Service?
Certainly. You don't think we'd bury Mr. Hoskins without a full Methodist service, do you?
But can't that wait till I get back?
Oh, then you could join us.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, Mortimer, you will enjoy the service, especially the hymns. Do you remember how beautifully Mortimer used to sing in the choir before his voice changed?
And remember, you're not going to let anyone in while I'm gone. It's a promise?
Well...
Oh, Martha, yes. We can do that now that Mortimer's cooperating with us. Well, all right, Mortimer.
Have you got some paper? Now, I'll get back just as soon as I can.
Will this do?
That's fine, yes. It'll save time if I write my review on the way to the theatre. Goodbye.
You know, Mortimer didn't seem quite himself today.
Well, of course, that's only natural. He's just become engaged. That always makes a man nervous.
Abby, if Mortimer's coming back for the service, we shall need another hymnal.
You know, dear, it's really my turn to read the service. But since you weren't here when Mr. Hoskins came, I want you to do it.
Ah, oh, that's very nice of you, dear. But are you sure you want me to?
Well, it's only fair.
Well, I think I'll wear my black bombazine and Mother's old brooch.
I'll go, dear.
Oh, we promised Mortimer we wouldn't let anyone in.
Well, who do you suppose it is?
Wait a minute. I'll look. Oh, it's two men, and I've never seen them before.
Are you sure?
Yes, and there's a car at the curb. They must have come in there.
Well, let me look.
Do you recognize them?
No, they're strangers to me.
We'll just have to pretend we're not home. Oh, hide here behind the screen. Go on, get out.
All right, quietly.
All right, I should get somewhere away.
Come in, Doctor. This is the home of my youth.
So?
As a boy, I couldn't wait to escape from this place now. I'm glad to escape back into it.
Yeah, Charlie. It's a fine hideout.
Yeah, the family must still live here. I hope there's a fatted calf awaiting the return of the prodigal.
Yeah. I'm hungry. Look, Johnny.
Hmm?
Wine.
As though we were expected.
Oh, who are you? And what are you doing here?
Why, Aunt Abby. Aunt Martha. It's Jonathan.
You get out of here.
But it's Jonathan. Your nephew, Jonathan.
Oh, no, you're not. You're nothing like Jonathan. You get out of here.
But I am Jonathan, and this is Dr. Einstein.
And he's not Dr. Einstein either.
Not Dr. Albert Einstein, Dr. Hermann Einstein.
Well, who are you? You're not our nephew, Jonathan.
I see you're still wearing the lovely garnet ring that Grandma Brewster bought in England.
Oh!
And you, Aunt Martha... Still the high collar to hide the scar where Grandfather's acid burned you?
His voice is like Jonathan's, Abby.
Have you been in an accident?
No. My face. Dr. Einstein is responsible for that. He's a plastic surgeon. He changes people's faces.
Don't worry, ladies. The last 5 years, I give Johnny 3 new faces. I give him another one right away. This last face, well, I was intoxicated at the time.
You see, doctor, you see what you've done to me, even my own family.
Johnny, you're home in this lovely house. How often he tells me about Brooklyn, about this house, about his aunts that he loves so much.
I promised Dr. Einstein that no matter how rushed we were in passing through Brooklyn, I'd take time to bring him here for one of Aunt Martha's home-cooked dinners.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm afraid there wouldn't be enough.
Oh, Abby, it's a pretty good-sized pot roast.
Pot roast?
Yeah, I think the least we could do is...
Thank you, Aunt Martha. We'll stay to dinner.
Well, we'll hurry it along.
Oh, yes. And if we had a few more vegetables...
Yes, well, lots of potatoes. Find something else to have. Yes.
Well, Johnny, where do we go from here? We got to think fast. The police... The police have got pictures of that face. Mm. I got to operate on you right away. We got to find some place for that. And we got to find a place for Mr. Spenalso,
too. Oh, don't waste any worry on that rat.
But, Johnny, we got a hot stiff on our hands.
Forget Mr. Spenalso.
But you can't leave a dead body in the car. You shouldn't have killed him, Johnny. He's a nice fellow. He gives us a lift, and what happens?
He said I looked like Boris Karloff. You did that to me.
Ah, take it easy, Johnny. Now, look. Your aunts, they don't want us here.
We're here for dinner, Aunt.
Oh, yeah, but after dinner.
Leave it to me, Doctor. I'll handle it. This house will be our headquarters for years.
Oh, that would be beautiful, Johnny. This nice, quiet house. And those aunts of yours, what sweet ladies. I love them already. I get the bags, yeah?
Doctor, we must wait until we're invited.
But you just said that...
We'll be invited.
And if they say no...
Doctor, two helpless old women.
Oh, it's like comes through a beautiful dream. Only I hope we're not dreaming. It's so peaceful.
That's what makes this house so perfect for us. It's so peaceful. Yes, aunties, those 5 years in Chicago were amongst the busiest and happiest of my life.
And from Chicago we go to South Bend, Indiana, and there we had the fascinating...
They wouldn't be interested in our experience in Indiana.
Well, Jonathan, you've led a very interesting life, I'm sure, but we really shouldn't have allowed you to talk so late.
My meeting Dr. Einstein in London, I might say, changed the whole course of my life. You remember, I'd been in South Africa in the diamond business, then Amsterdam, the diamond market. I wanted to go back to South Africa, and Dr. Einstein made it possible for me.
When we take off the bandages, his face looked so different, the nurse had to introduce me.
You know, I think we'll go back to that face, Doctor.
Yeah, it's safe now.
Well, I know you both want to get to where you're going.
My dear aunts, I'm so full of that delicious dinner, I'm unable to move a muscle.
Yeah, he's nice here.
Well, after all, it's very late.
I found it!
What did you find, Teddy?
The story of my life. My biography. Here's the picture I was telling you about, General. Here we are, both of us. President Roosevelt and General Goethals, a Calibre cat. That's me, General, and that's you.
My, how I've changed.
Well, of course you've changed. That picture hasn't been taken yet. We haven't even started work on Calibre cat. We're still digging locks. So, General, we'll both go to Panama and inspect the new lock.
No, Teddy, not to Panama.
No, we go some other time. Panama's a long way off.
Nonsense, it's down in the cellar.
The
cellar?
We'll let him dig the Panama Canal in the cellar.
General Goethals, as President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, and the man who gave you this job, I demand that you accompany me to the inspection of the new lock.
All right, Mr. President. We go to Panama.
Fine. Follow me, General.
Lead on, Mr. President. I am following.
Jonathan, there's a very nice little hotel just 3 blocks down.
Aunt Martha, this is my home.
Oh, but Jonathan, you can't stay here.
Dr. Einstein and I need a place to sleep. You remembered this afternoon that as a boy I could be very disagreeable. It wouldn't be very pleasant for any of us if I
perhaps we'd better let them stay here tonight, Abby.
Well, just overnight, Jonathan.
That's settled. Now, if you'll get my room ready.
It only needs airing out.
Yes. Well, you see, we keep it ready to show our lodgers.
Hey, Johnny! Down in the cellars.
Dr. Einstein, my dear aunts have invited us to live with them.
Oh, you fixed it.
Well, you're sleeping here tonight.
Please get our room ready immediately.
Well, if you insist.
Well, for tonight only, then.
Yes, but it's all very awkward, Abby, isn't
it? No, never mind. You put on the kettle and
Johnny.
Hmm?
Johnny, when I go down in the cellar, what do you think I find?
What?
The Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal.
It just fits, Mr. Spinalzo. It's a hole, Teddy dug, 6 feet long and 3 feet wide.
Down there?
You'd think they knew we were bringing Mr. Spinalzo along. That's hospitality.
Rather a good joke on my aunts. They're living in a house with a body buried in the cellar.
How do we get him in?
Yes, we can't just walk him in through the door. I got it. We'll drive the car up between the house and the cemetery.
Ah.
Then, when they've gone to bed, we'll bring Mr. Spinalzo in through that window.
Oh.
Jonathan.
Huh?
Your room is ready.
Oh, then you can go to bed. We're moving the car up behind the house.
Oh, it's all right when it is, until the morning.
I don't want to leave it in the street. That might be against the law.
Yeah, it is. That's quite right.
Come on, Doctor.
I'm coming.
Abby, what are we going to do?
Well, we are not going to let them stay more than one night in this house, for one thing. What would the neighbours think? People coming in with one face and going out with another?
What are we going to do about Mr. Hoskins?
Oh, Mr. Hoskins. Can't be very comfortable for him in the window seat. And he's been so patient, poor dear. Well, I think Teddy had better get Mr. Hoskins downstairs right away.
Abby, I will not invite Jonathan to the funeral service.
Oh, no, dear. We'll wait until they've gone to bed, and then we'll come down and hold the service.
Yes.
Well, General Goethals was very pleased. He says the canal is just the right size.
Teddy, there's been another yellow fever victim.
Dear me, this will be a shock to the general.
Then we mustn't tell him about it.
But it's his department.
Oh, no, we mustn't tell him, Teddy. It will just spoil his visit.
I'm sorry, Aunt Abby. It's out of my hands. He'll have to be told army regulations, you know.
No, Teddy, we must keep it a secret.
Yes.
A state secret?
Yes, a state secret.
Promise?
You have the word of the President of the United States.
Now, Teddy, you go down back into the cellar, and when I call you, you come up and take the poor man down to the canal.
And we'll come down later and hold the service.
Where is the poor devil?
He's in the window seat.
Oh, seems to be spreading. We've never had yellow fever there before.
Mm. Martha. When Jonathan and Dr. Einstein come back, let's see if we can get them to go to bed right away.
Oh, yes. And then by the time they're asleep, we'll be dressed for the funeral.
Mm. Jonathan, your room is waiting for you. You can go right up.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid we don't keep Brooklyn hours, but you two run along to bed.
Oh, no. You must be very tired, both of you. And we don't go to bed this early.
Well, you should. It's time I came back to take care of you.
Well, we weren't planning to go until...
Martha.
Well, come on then, Doctor. We'll go and unpack.
Yeah, yeah.
Good night, Aunt Abby. Good night, Aunt Martha.
Good night, Jonathan. Good night, Doctor.
Good night, ladies.
Now, Teddy.
Everything's ready in the canal.
Good. Now for the yellow fever victim.
Oh, poor fella. It's very sad.
Lift the lid, Martha.
You will.
That's right.
Oh, he's really very nice looking, considering he's a Methodist.
Now, lift, Teddy. That's right. Where you go?
Oh, poor devil's dropping like flies. It's a heavy one, this one.
Now we'll go and change for the funeral.
Oh, yes, my black bombazine.
Yeah. Well, come on, dear.
All right, Johnny. Ah, they've gone to bed.
Good. I'll get the window open. You go round and hand Mr. Spinazzo through.
No, he's too heavy for me. You go outside and push. I stay here and pull. Then together we get him down to Panama.
All right. I'll take a look round outside the house. You open the window.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Oh. Who left the window seat open, I wonder? Johnny.
Hmm.
Okay, alley-oop. Wait a minute. You lost a leg somewhere. Now I got him. Come on. That was me, Johnny. I slipped.
Be more careful.
Well, his shoe came off. Yes. All right, Johnny, I got him. Huh? Johnny, somebody at the door. Go quick.
What about...
No. A manager here. Go quick. In. Where's that shoe? Oh, the other leg. In you go. That's it.
Miss Abby? Miss Martha? Miss Abby? Miss Martha?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Elaine Harper. I live next door.
Then what are you doing here?
I think you'd better explain what you're doing here.
We happen to live here.
You don't live here. I'm in this house every day and I've never seen you before. Where are Miss Abby and Miss Martha? What have you done to them?
Perhaps we'd better introduce ourselves. This is Dr. Einstein.
Delighted, happy.
Dr. Einstein?
And I'm Jonathan Brewster.